In the book of James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. There we read, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." From what James has to say here, I think it is easy for us to understand that we ought to seek to be wise in the ways that God would have us to be wise. A lot of people in the world that spend a lot of time, and we ourselves in the past, I'm sure, and maybe even now, spend our time trying to gain some wisdom in various different avenues of life. I spent 2 years going to school learning some wisdom about working on cars. There's some question about how well I learned it, but I sought that wisdom. Many people go to colleges seeking wisdom in various different areas of life, whether it be going to a four-year college to gain wisdom, how to teach others, or how to do science, or be a doctor. That takes more than 4 years, I understand. Many other things, or some go to the two-year college, trade school, we used to call them, to gain wisdom and how to do various trades and such. Some try to gain in other ways. We all seek wisdom in so many ways. And we even seek wisdom in how we conduct ourselves throughout this life. We're all concerned about the wisdom that we use in handling our finances, in taking care of our homes and caring for our children. Sometimes we have illnesses that affect us and we seek out wisdom. We see the value in wisdom. But I think James points us in a different direction than what all of those ideas are, because he points us into a desire to find the kind of wisdom that is from God. We want to consider that this evening. Who is it that is truly wise? Who is it that's wise in God's eyes? Because certainly we are seeking to please the God above, not just those that are around us here upon the earth, not just to get through this life, but to satisfy God's desires for us. And so we seek wisdom. And the first thing that we want to consider is what James says here in verse 13. He says, the one who has wisdom, the one who is wise and understanding, is the one who shows forth his deeds through his good conduct. He shows forth by his good behavior the deeds that are shown in gentleness of wisdom. We need to consider that how we conduct ourselves can tell people whether we are wise or not. The things that James continues to speak about here, seeking after rising up in this world, getting a position and a place that makes us feel superior to others, though we may have some sort of wisdom in that, that's not the kind of wisdom that's going to bring us benefit. That's not the wisdom that's going to help us. It's not the wisdom that is from above. That's wisdom that's focused upon earthly things. And it'll lead to jealousy. It'll lead to all sorts of evil things. But the wisdom of God leads us to the things that are pure and righteous and holy. And it will also help us in our interactions with our fellow man. Wisdom from God is the kind that James tells us, if we will pray to God seeking wisdom, He will give it to us. And then we can conduct ourselves in a wise and proper manner, and it will show forth that we are the wise man. Certainly for most of what we're going to consider this evening in talking about wisdom, we're going to go to the book of wisdom and look at some of the passages that are found in the book of Proverbs. And when we go to Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse 7, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the wise man Solomon tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This tells us that the wise person is the one who fears the Lord. We won't go into a lot of detail about what that word fear includes, but we want to acknowledge that it includes more than just respect. It includes afraidness. When we talk about the fear of the Lord that is a demonstration of our wisdom, it's a knowledge and understanding of who God is and what He expects of us that causes us to have dread for what would happen to us if we're not pleasing to Him. Most like some of us may have experienced in our teenage years when we did something and realized maybe before we did it that it's something mom and dad wouldn't be agreeable with. And then we realized they were going to find out. Dread, fear, afraid of what would happen. That's a part of this fear of the Lord. That's a part of this gaining of knowledge, is acknowledging the power of God and how that power will be used against us and His wrath poured out upon us if we go against His will. It also includes the idea of respect. I personally have a little bit of sometimes difficulty trying to disconnect those two ideas. Because to me, respect comes out of that understanding of the power that God has. I respect God and I honor Him because of who He is, because of what He has done. He created the world. If He so desired, He could stop the oxygen from working at any time. And there's not a thing that we could do about it. That's the kind of power that God has, and I respect Him because of that power. I fear the Lord. And that takes us into the second thing that we want to consider from the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Here I think the writer of the book of Proverbs gives us a statement in regards to father and son that we can apply the principle to even greater things, and I think it falls into the category of what we were just talking about God. We respect them for the authority that they hold. We respect our parents, and we demonstrate that respect by giving attention to their instruction and by accepting their discipline. We just studied a few weeks ago in the book of Hebrews about how the Hebrew writer uses the example of a father disciplining his son to teach how God disciplines us and corrects us for our own betterment. We need to learn to respect that. I'm convinced that that respect comes out of this idea of fear and awe for the power that God has. When I was a little bitty feller, I had that kind of fear and awe of my father because, man, he could do anything. And what he couldn't do, his daddy could do. If it was there and needed to be moved, they could figure out a way to move it. I couldn't even imagine how you might get something out of the way like that, but they could pick it up and move it. And there was some awe there. And that brought about a respect to my father because of the power that he had. Now, as I grew older, I got similar strength and power, and I began to lose that respect a little bit. But the Scripture tells us that the man who is wise continues to respect his parents. And I think by extension we can say that the Scripture teaches us that the man who is wise continues to respect God and all other authorities. Even though I may have the power within myself to overcome this authority, because it is an authority, I respect it, and I live in accordance with it. That's what a wise man does. Paul, when he was writing about the family relationship in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, said, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Wisdom causes us to respect and honor our parents continually, even as we grow older, not so much because of the power, not maybe even because of the status of authority, although we should respect their authority, but because of the wisdom and the knowledge that they have, the guidance that they can provide. When Paul says this is the first commandment with promise, he tells us what that promise is. Honoring your father and your mother leads to longer life. And I know I made this point once before and got some grins, and somebody told me afterwards, yeah, because if I didn't do what Daddy said, I wasn't going to live very long. And while certainly that could be the case, I'm thinking about something else. Their advice guides us in a proper and right way. When mom and dad say, be careful while you're driving, it's because they know of the dangers that can come when you're out driving, and you need to be careful. When they give instruction, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel, they do that because they've got understanding, they've got wisdom, and we need to have the wisdom to respect them for that authority. I think the same thing applies to any authority that is looking out for our best interests. Most people don't like to think about it, but the purpose of a police force is to protect and serve. It's even in a lot of their logos sometimes. They're there to help us to get along with one another. The scripture tells us that they're there to punish evildoers, but they're not a hurt for those that are doing that which is righteous and that which is right and proper. And so we illustrate wisdom when the policeman says, stop, and we stop instead of running. In a more important sense, the same is true of the authority of God. We demonstrate wisdom when we respect God's authority. He's looking out for our best interest. And we submit ourselves wholly to the ideas and teachings that He's given us. Because He wants to guide us down a pathway that is smooth and pleasant and that will lead us to be with Him for all eternity. And He knows how to do that. We need to respect the authority and the instruction and the discipline that we receive from Him, just like we would from our fathers, our mothers, and even the authorities of this land. It leads us to a third thing from the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. There's a reason we call people that take risks daredevils. They're not cautious. They're not careful. They don't keep themselves away from evil and wickedness. We got Matthew 10 and verse 28 on the screen as a reminder that we don't fear those that can kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, to point out that this is a spiritual thing we're talking about, but it comes to mind in physical ways sometimes. How do we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day life? We read and we study from the Word of God, and we know what God would have us to do in every situation of life. If we don't, we know where we can go to find that instruction and that answer. But when we have a question of, is this pleasing to God? Do we seek to find the answer that keeps us as close to God as possible? Or do we search for the answer that will let us get as close to evil as we can without stepping over? What do you mean, preacher? Well, when we start talking about the drinking of alcohol with some folks, they want to know how many drinks they can take
before they committed sin. Is that the kind of attitude that is cautious and avoids evil? Or is that the attitude that wants to get just as close up to it as it can?
When you go to the zoo, they have bars between you and the animals. In some of those cages, they don't just have bars, but they have a big, huge ditch, a barrier of emptiness between you and where the animals are. Because they want to make sure that you don't get anywhere near that animal. Because they know that is the prudent thing to do. That is the wise step to take, because they don't want to be sued, have a lawsuit because somebody got swiped by a bear because they were too close to the cage bars. In fact, I suspect some of those big barriers like that, those big ditches and such, or moats as they may be in some places, are there because that company at some time had some problems. And that's the only way they could find to solve it, so they wouldn't get sued. We need to live our lives by avoiding evil, staying away from it. All too often, we seek for the answers that will let us walk up on the edge of the cliff and get just as close as we can possibly get without going over. I'm not getting any further because I don't have that good of balance anymore. When what we ought to be doing is seeking the answer that would keep us where we can see that edge plenty far away from us and know where it is. We need to avoid. The one who is wise does fear evil and avoid it. When we fear God and we respect His authority, understanding who He is, it helps us to avoid evil. And a wise man will do such. Because the wise man is seeking after God. He's seeking after, as James said, those things that are pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable. Those things that are full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Those things that produce righteousness that's sown in peace. So we're going to avoid evil. We're not going to ask, how short can my shorts be? We're going to ask, how long can I make them and still be able to function? How far away from that life? The discussion of modesty has always been, at least amongst all the people I've discussed it with, is where do we draw the line? Well, wherever you're told to draw the line, are you going to draw it there or just as close to there as you can get, but still be a little above it? Why are we searching to draw the line? Why aren't we searching to change our hearts? How many PG-13 rated movies can I watch and not soil my mind with the wickedness of the world? Can I read this series and still be pleasing to God? Or maybe if I have the mind of wisdom, I should stay away from that. Because it puts me too close to evil. It takes me too far away from God. Rather than seeking to be close to evil, the wise man seeks to be close to God, and he avoids evil with every fiber of his being. Just like we try to avoid potholes and dangers while we're driving down the road. Stay away from them. The wise man is not a daredevil in his spiritual life. But all too often when we look at the examples that are around us of those who are Christians, we find that they are a little less cautious than we could be. And yes, I use the word we, because all of us fail in that sometimes. The wise man listens. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. This is demonstrated in the pages of Scripture in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, the apostle Peter took his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." And later on in that same chapter, in verse 41, we read, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The one who is wise gives attention to counsel, this in particular about how to set things right that they had done wrong in crucifying the Lord. Trying to discover what it was that was going on at this time with these men speaking in these tones that all of them could understand and the message that they were presenting. But this applies in so many areas of life. The wise man is the one that takes the time to listen to the one who has the knowledge. The wise builder listens to the advice of those that have gone before him. The wise teacher learns from the teachings of those who have already taught, who have already studied. The wise student listens and seeks out those who have knowledge in the particular area they're trying to learn from. They listen. They give attention. And they keep their mouth shut. They refrain their lips. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. James said, be not many teachers, because there's a greater condemnation. James gives warnings that we'll be studying in our Sunday morning Bible class in the upcoming weeks regarding the use of the tongue and how we ought to be careful and how in most instances we might be better off if we just didn't say anything. I know one of the hardest lessons for me to learn growing up is that young children are supposed to be seen and not heard. Well, that's not because children are going to be wise. But children don't have wisdom. They ought to be listening. It took me a lot of years to figure out that that's actually what I should have learned from that. I ought to be taking the opportunity to listen and give attention to those that are talking who've gone before instead of trying to put forth my two cents that isn't even worth a half a penny because I don't have the experience. You see, this idea of refraining or keeping your tongue goes with the idea of listening. The wise man is one who gives consideration to all the things that are presented before him. He listens to what is said. He doesn't try to interject and put his own ideas in until he has considered the things that have been presented to him. It doesn't mean we can't ask questions, because in asking questions, actually what we're doing is helping our listening. But what it's talking about is jumping in with our ideas when we ought to be listening to other people. Putting forth our thoughts when they're the thoughts of a fool, maybe. Or at least one who is uninformed. The wise man listens and gives attention to counsel. Thinks through those things. Studies on those things. Is careful about those things and uses them to guide himself. And if we truly are listening and giving attention rather than seeking to get our point across or say our things, we're going to have better conversations with people as well. When we are introduced to new people and we begin to get to know them, we ought to listen to what they have to say. When we seek to teach someone from the Word of God, we ought to listen to that person as they talk about their knowledge of the Bible so we can see where they are in their understanding of Scripture so we can learn how to help them to grow. The wise man listens and refrains his tongue, keeps himself, is careful and considering. Of course, pointing to a more spiritual aspect, the writer of the book of Proverbs in Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise, or he is wise who wins souls. why would winning souls be an indicator of wisdom? Well, when we think of all the things that we've already talked about in regards to wisdom, true wisdom comes from God, doesn't it? And we demonstrate that true wisdom when we give attention to what God has to say and we fear the God of heaven because of who He is and what He's done. And we respect Him because of the authority that He has. And we submit ourselves to Him and we strive to draw ourselves closer to Him. And we begin to understand that wisdom is all about coming near to God. So the best thing we can do for somebody else is bring them to God as well. True wisdom. The one who is truly wise in the way that God seeks for us to be wise is not arrogant about the fact that he knows so much or that he is so wise, but he recognizes his wisdom is there for the purpose of helping others to be wise as well. That's why he who is wise wins souls. Because he approaches the teaching of the gospel and the study that he might have with others from the aspect of my goal is to get them into God's presence. My goal is to bring them to God. I've seen all sorts of plans and methods that have been used in various congregations and various individuals, and it boils down in a lot of instances to how many new seats they can fill up. They're not trying to get people closer to God. They're just trying to get more people in the building. That's not winning souls. That's making a name for yourself. The one who is wise is concentrating on bringing souls to God. He who wins souls is wise. Or he who is wise wins souls. Whichever way you want to render it. The wisdom that we have that God expects of us is a wisdom that causes us to strive to help others. In fact, it is a wisdom that causes us to take action. The one who is wise is the one who hears the word of the Lord and does the word of the Lord. And I know everybody, when I said that phrase right there, thought of the foolish man and the wise man building their houses. Especially since I got Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 on the board there. Jesus said, let everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Note that. Hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And we see that comparison. We understand that comparison. But why is the man wise because he built his house on the rock? Why is the wise man of God compared to that? Because here's a man that investigated and looked. Here's a man that sought knowledge and understanding. He learned. He listened. He heeded the advice that he was given. And then he took action on it. The man who built his house on the sand is a fella, he might be kind of like me. Just, hey, I want to build it. And I want it right here, so I'm just going to put it up. He didn't seek any counsel. Didn't give any consideration to what was going on and what might happen. And therefore, even though he did take action, it was an action without wisdom. It was building without purpose because he didn't have wisdom behind it. The wise man acts on the Word of God because the wise man is the one that listens to the Word of God, gives heed, is careful and considering of the things that are contained in that word. James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "It is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." That's why the wise man is the one who is a doer of the word of the Lord, because he recognizes that just knowing God's will, just knowing of God, is not sufficient to bring him salvation. But he must take action. He listens to counsel. He keeps himself from evil. And he acts in accordance with the will of God. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, or lives according to it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Certainly, the statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the beginning of that verse, should be a sad commentary upon many of the world today. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." The one who does is the one who is wise. The one who gives attention, the one who lives his life in accordance with the will of God. James, when he talks about expressing himself in the good conduct or good behavior, his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom, what he's doing is saying this man has listened to God because he understands who God is. And he knows and he fears and he holds God in awe and respect because God is God. And he recognizes the knowledge that can come from seeking after God and putting himself close in proximity to God. And so he avoids those things that would turn him away from God. And he listens intently to the things that are taught by God. He doesn't try to interject his own ideas and thoughts, but he listens and does what God says to do. And he is successful in teaching others because his desire is to bring them to God just as he is. This is the man who is wise. As Solomon tells us as he comes to the close of his diary of experiences, you know, in some ways that book of Ecclesiastes is a general journal of the activities of the man Solomon. And he said, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." When we come to the conclusion of all things, what is going to matter is how well we listen to God. Whether we respected him and we honored him and we praised him is going to be our result. Whether we listen to him and apply his teachings in our life. The one who is wise is the one who puts his focus on God, accepts it for who he is, and devotes his life to serving him because he is God. Many other things that we could probably talk about, the remedy for sin, the sacrifice of Christ, is something that should draw us to God, free ourselves from the wickedness and evil in this world. But ultimately it boils down to, do you want to be in God's presence? The wise man does. Because he respects and fears and honors God. Who is wise? Are you wise? Demonstrated by the deeds, how you conduct yourself. You can be shown forward. We may not can read your hearts and know exactly what you're thinking in your heart, but we can look at how you live your life and make some fairly accurate estimations of where you are. That's the wise man that seeks after God. Don't you let your life proceed. Find the things that are missed, that you've gotten closer to evil instead of further away from it. You've not listened to the teaching and advice of God. You've not taken the things that you've heard and made them active in your life. Or you've just slacked off and paid attention to God, not giving the attention that he deserves. In
It's all up to you as to whether you're God's presence or not. God's provided the means by which you can come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Being buried in baptism to have your sins washed away because you have devoted yourself to the Lord by turning away from the world and submitting to His law. Confess your belief in Jesus will put you in the family of God in God's presence. Living righteously and holy in accordance with His will can keep you there. You find you straight from that, and then you come back to the Lord, praying to God, asking for forgiveness. Truly having turned from your sins, getting away from the evil, and coming back into the presence of God. God will forgive you a lot more than you will do. We can assist you time and opportunity as you wish. Why not come to stand and serve?